If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Finally. Oh my God. We are so back. We Philadelphia Eagles fans are so back, but the entire football world is back. We got a little taste of it, I'd imagine, some of you. Unless you've been living under a rock with the release of the college football game. Some of us more invested than others, buying that MVP Deluxe Edition, getting both versions. Yes,
myself included. Myself included.
Although, if you're an Eagles fan, you probably don't have a whole lot of work to do on franchise mode on that game, because my God, I'm not going to lie to you, man. You know, getting back into the thick of things here, really taking a look at this team as they begin training camp. Holy shit, I forgot how much talent this roster has. By the way, this is the Philly Pod, back. The official Philadelphia Eagles podcast of the LibertyLine.com. My name is Stephen Conrad Jr., and obviously joining me, as always, is the host and the creator, Victor Williams.
Yes, sir. New season, new football season, new pod season, new content season. Been gone since, I think, April. And a lot has happened, and now we're back as training camp gets underway. And just looking at this team on paper, obviously all the moves with the draft and the extensions, we'll get into obviously all of that as the show goes on, as we preview the positional battles and all those kind of things that will occur in the next few weeks throughout training camp. And it is tough not to foresee this team back in the Super Bowl mix like they were in 2022. We're trying to wash out the bad taste that was 2023, especially the end of it, starting 10-1, ending the way they did, out with Brian Johnson, out with Sean Desai, out with Matt Patricia, in with Kellen Moore, in with Vic Fangio. Hopefully some fresh ideas. We got some new players, and it's going to be an exciting time. These next few weeks are always exciting, especially for us nerds like Steven and myself who love this training camp stuff and love hearing about the team and love seeing how things look. And it's not going to be all flowers and rainbows. It's going to be some growing pains. We saw some of that during OTAs when the offense wasn't clicking and Hurts still trying to figure out things as they learn a new system, learn new terminology and things like that. So I anticipate seeing some of that in the first few weeks of the season. I think fans should condition themselves to see some growing pains as the Eagles, you know, try to establish their new identity under Kellen Moore. But Steven, to your point, when you look at this roster, once they get moving, it's going to be hard to see who can contend with them in the NFC.
Yeah, certainly feels that way. you know, obviously we'll touch on specific teams, but I think the NFC East as a whole is going to be interesting this year. Will it be more competitive? I don't know if that's the word, because I think the Giants and the Cowboys both took steps back this offseason, but I think the Commanders took a step forward, several steps forward, honestly, with some of the moves that they made. I don't know. They're an interesting team. Specifically touching on them, though, while, you know, Jaden Daniels, I do believe he's going to be their franchise quarterback. They finally got it right. I think the football gods are going to bless them, the RG3 situation and all the quarterbacks that followed suit afterwards. But I will say, I will be glad not to see Sam Howell walking into the link and throwing for 500 yards once a year. You know what I mean?
Prime Drew Brees is who we faced twice last year. For
one less frustration, you know, or two, I guess, two less frustration since we'll play him twice this year on the schedule. So that would be kind of nice. And speaking of schedule, it's a way different schedule this year for the Eagles. It seems like that. It seems like last year they had a ton of primetime games. It's a little bit more, I don't know if balanced is the word, but it seems like it leveled out a little bit. How do I feel about that? I don't know. Still
definitely
not really
some more
sure.
Afternoon games. I know families enjoy that, you know, because the kids want to see the games. So I know it's tough for families to have to get their, you know, get their children together and get ready for work the next day. And primetime games are on. And of course, you want to be tuned into that. People like to be speaking from the adult perspective. People like games to be over and done with by 4 o'clock, so you can go ahead and get ready for the work week. So I know they're happy about it. I enjoy the primetime games personally because I'm up at night anyway. I enjoy, you know, pre-gaming all day long, getting ready for that night game. I know you enjoy a libation or two as well during the day. So that's
nah, my
fun,
favorite's the 4 o'clock. That's
yeah, those are
favorite.
Good. Those are actually the best because you can get to the lots at like 8, 9 in the morning and just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're tailgating, I will say, though, the primetime games are like a treat, though. I think it's a treat as far as tailgating because, like, you're used to, like, yeah, I mean, well, if they play at 1 o'clock, you're at the lots pretty early. Yeah. 4 o'clock.
Get your ass up.
A little bit easier. But yeah, when they play primetime, I like it. It's like a treat. It's just like a nice treat for a change. I don't want too many of them, though.
Yeah. Last year, it almost didn't feel special because they were on all the time during at nighttime. And, you were
and
like,
not only
man,
that, we were
I get,
carrying
I get
we're
the top team in the league, but geez.
Yeah, like we were carrying that burden. And even I'm not gonna lie, man, maybe it's a testament of how invested I am. Maybe I'm too invested. I don't know. That's why we do this podcast. We're very invested here. Been invested. Cut me open. I bleed green, you know? Mm-hmm. But it just felt like a burden, like, honestly, carrying like that's my big takeaway.
I think that was a
takeaway.
If the fans felt like that, imagine how the team felt. I think that's reflective on the team.
Did you feel that way?
Well.
I felt that way because it felt like every Sunday I'm like, man, the whole world is watching. They want to see us fall off. They're saying we have fell off.
The season
off.
Just felt like a grind. Like that's how it felt. It was just a slog every single week. Even when they won, it was like, man, they got that one. But it was always exhausting, though. It was the thing. And I think if fans felt that, then the players felt it 10 times over. And I think that was reflective on the field. So that's a good point there. You bring up the NFC East being interesting this upcoming season. That might have something to do with the jersey I got on right now, Mr. Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have you been seeing Hard Knocks? Obviously, you've seen the clips on online and whatnot. Have you?
I only see the clips. I am not gonna watch the Hard Knocks New York Giants edition. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
It is a good. I will say it's good to see. I'm not going to say it's a good indicator of what like front offices are like because the Giants are like that. There's a lot of things wrong with the dynamics they have going on in there. But it's good to get a viewpoint of like how these things get done, especially free agency and things like that. But when you have your franchise player about to leave the organization and your owner is sitting there looking visibly uncomfortable that he's about to not only leave but go to a division rival, and your GM is sitting there smiling in your face about it and saying, "Oh, well, like that all of that was a bad look from my standpoint." You know, and from the people that I've talked to that work in some of these roles, they were coming to me and saying, "This is not how things are done typically within the organization." And I even heard a segment. Colin Cowherd had one on the herd who said this is basically Mickey Mouse what the Giants did with that. Like, you have your owner looking disheveled, you have your GM over there giggling about it, and just everybody in there, and he's getting calls from other sources saying the Eagles are out on Saquon, but I don't know if that's true. Clearly that was not true because they ended up signing him. So I think this GM is gone before the year is over. However you say his name, Joe Shane. I'm not sure how you say his name.
Yeah.
I think his leash got incredibly shorter with the release of Hard Knocks, and it is that owner, the Giants owner, is not looking too thrilled at the moment.
Well, yeah, and if
they were about
like...
to, they were about to move up and trade for Jaden Daniels, I think. And instead, they were like, "Well, we can ride with Daniel." And Brian Daboll looked upset that they stuck with Dan. So I don't think Daniel Jones is too thrilled about all of this. He can't feel good about it either.
No shot. It's a total gap year for that team. It has to be, right?
Well, it's not for Daniel. This is like skull. What? Like, it's so not for Daniel Jones.
That's the thing with the NFL. Like, usually come, you know, postseason time and Super Bowl, you kind of have an, like, you understand why certain teams are in the playoffs and why they end up going on. But, you know, each year can be a little bit different. You get a few surprise teams, and usually for the most part, most fan bases have at least one or multiple reasons to be optimistic heading into a season, even if they don't feel like that team can go on to win the Super Bowl. But what the hell did they give the fans to like hold on to? Like, I don't know, man.
Like if you're selling the fans on Daniel Jones as the guy, like, I don't, if I was a Giants fan, I wouldn't. Malik Nabers is good. I like him a lot. So that's a good receiver you got for him. Devin Singletary is an okay back, but his cap hit is the same as Saquon's this year. So I think they misread the running back market in addition to everything else. I think they thought they were going to get Singletary for less money, and they ended up paying him what they did. And it's just, it's overall not a great look for the Giants. Like, I think they'll firmly be fourth in the division this year. So
you know what, though?
It's just, like, it's a mess from top to bottom.
I think too much is actually being made of them. You're going to get mad at me, but letting go of Saquon Barkley, it's more so the fact that he came here. That's the issue.
From an organizational standpoint, I understand why you didn't bring him back. Because from the place that they're at, like from where they are as an organization and where they are as a team right now, investing that kind of money into Saquon when you have so many other needs from O-line to receivers, you need a lot of help. And I understand why they were hesitant to pay Saquon that kind of money. It's not that I had the issue with that. It was that they allowed it it was the mishandling of it. And it was them assuming that Saquon wasn't going to get paid. Like, they were having conversations like, who's really going to pay him what he asked for? Like, any team with money is going to pay him what he asked for. And the Eagles were the ones to step up.
Yeah, I mean,
and
so much so that the team that historically doesn't do it did it.
If it wasn't us, the Texans were right there. The Eagles and Texans were vying for his services. And Saquon himself thought that there was a pretty good chance he was going to Houston as well. So I think it's just the misreading of it all and the way they kind of handled Saquon. Like, well, go up and find your market and come back to us with an offer. And Saquon was already like, I ain't doing that.
The interesting thing about all of this is, like, something we've all been collectively saying over the last, it feels like, decade at this point about the running back position is that you know, they're not as valued as they once were. People aren't going to pay him and stuff like that. And, like, this offseason kind of...
They said, who's really going to pay him what he wants? Like, as if teams don't have cap space.
I think it's interesting now, though, because all the contenders are the ones that signed the big names. Like, you know what I mean? Derrick Henry, Baltimore Ravens, for God's sake. You know,
Joe Mixon to the Texans. Like, there's where did Eckler went to? The Commanders, I believe. There's just a lot of Swift went to Chicago. Like, teams are investing into
these
bats.
Are also, I mean, we would agree at least for two of them, Derrick Henry and Saquon are both like generational talents at their position. So
for sure.
It's like outliers, but you know,
it's funny how the running back, we promise we'll get to the Eagle stuff in a second, but it's funny how the running back market kind of like circled, like evened itself out, like kind of circled back because there was those years where running backs weren't getting paid and they did the whole Zoom call and all that stuff. And now they came around this year and they're finally getting paid what they should be. So it's funny to see how the market kind of circled around, came back to what they really are. Not getting paid, but receivers are, obviously, because that market went crazy. But running backs are getting their dues. And Saquon came here, and we can't wait to see what he does here. All right, Steve, before we get into the positional breakdowns we have for training camp, the teams did report today. Players reported today for the Eagles. They'll have this their first practice tomorrow. And, of course, we'll talk about all the takeaways and notes we gathered from that as well. But before all that, Steven, we have a brand new sponsor for the upcoming football season. Not only a new season for the pod, but a brand new partnership coming to you guys as well that I think will be very exciting for not only Eagles fans, but NFL fans as well. And our proud partner for the 2024 season is none other than Autograph. Autograph is what you already do as a fan. It's a one-stop shop for everything you love about your favorite teams. You can read blogs, you can listen to podcasts, you can watch breakdowns all in one place and earn rewards for every act of fandom that you do. So you get rewarded for doing the things that you do on a daily basis anyway. The Autograph app was co-founded by Tom Brady on the belief that the devotion to your favorite team should be rewarded. It curates the best content with exclusive scoops from sources that actually know your teams. In a world of hot takes, Steven, we know more than anything in a world of hot takes and stuff like that. Autograph does their job and puts the fans first. They also have a got to get their ticket feature that allows you. We know, Steven, we're buying tickets all the time to events, and you get processing fees and all these other fees, and you see a ticket. Oh, wow, look at that price. That looks great. And then you get there, and it's actually double that after all the fees. Well, Autograph allows you to snag seats to those can't-miss games without blowing your budget. Autograph finds the best deals on the secondary and offers them at fee-free within the app. No hidden fees, none of that good stuff. So, or none of that bad stuff, rather. So you go on the app, you can buy the tickets for what they are without all the fees. Autograph provides that service as well. With every podcast you listen to, with every article you read, with everything you interact with within the app, you get rewarded. They give you, it's like a currency they give you. You can cash those in for merch, for jerseys, for tickets, giveaways, all types of things. So I've been using the app for a couple weeks now. I'm going to be having content in there as an official partner. And the app is sleek, and my favorite feature that they use is called the replay feature, which is basically like, Steven, you know, if you wake up in the morning and if us as Eagles fans, we're checking the news, we're checking whatever, we're going to, if you want a pod, you have to go to the podcast app. If you want something quick, you go to Twitter. If you want a news, you have to go to Google and figure that out. Autograph does all that for you with their replay feature. They give you a notification in the morning, a nice little blurb of everything, tweets, podcasts, reports, everything, and nice one little thing, one little alert they give you that you can click on, opens the app, brings it all to you. And I've been using that for the last few weeks, and it has been a time saver for me personally. So it's an app available on the Google Play Store as well as the App Store if you are an iPhone user. And it is very, very user-friendly, very good, very productive app that I'll be using all season long, and we are very happy to partner with. You can use referral code PhillyPod when you sign up, and that'll allow you to get all the perks that they provide. That is Autograph app through Apple App Store as well as Google Play. Steven, I know you took a quick look at it, and I know you, you're not like picky about the stuff you put on your phone, but when you put it on your phone...
You can say it. I'm picky about my phone usage nowadays, I would say, just in general.
I mean, it looks at home. The app is good. It looks at home. Like, yeah, I have it with my sports folder with everything else, and it looks like it should be there. I know some people are weird about apps. Like, oh, I'll put it on here. I'll get rid of it in a week.
Well, no, I mean, you make a great point, though. It's like, I use Twitter for just everything news-related, and luckily, just because I follow so many Eagles-related media members, creators, whatever it may be, accounts, I'm going to get the information some way or another. But, yeah, like you, there's some days where I'm just like not on whatever the hell's going on, and you know, it'd be nice to just have that information instead of somebody giving their opinion on the worldly events going on right now, or whatever the hell's going on, or seeing Joel Embiid getting slandered on the Olympic team for some reason when he's literally one of their three best players over the last three games, consisting of LeBron, Curry, and Embiid. I don't care.
Yeah, it's
and honestly, it will be nice too. Like, yeah, we're Eagles fans and everything like that, but sometimes it's hard to just keep up with what the hell is going on around the league, even too, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. And you can, and it's not just limited to the Eagles. You can find teams that you want, get all the notifications you want them there, curates it in a nice little newsletter format for you and gives you all the news. So that is a very good stuff. Excited to use it moving forward. Excited to have them as a partner for the season. So you can download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play. Use referral code PhillyPod. To get all those perks. You'll be seeing me in there with exclusive content videos, providing takeaways with training camp as well as throughout the season and all that fun stuff. So on to the meaty. We got 16 minutes here without touching on training camp. But players did report today. We're excited to see how these positions unfold, because while we do have a lot of star talent, there are some starting positions up for grabs that we will go through. Steven, we have a few categories here. I'll let you pick which ones, which position battles you kind of have your eye on. We obviously have right guard, wide receiver three, corners, or CB2, all that fun stuff. So I guess we'll start with you. What kind of position battle do you have your eye on? What is a couple players that you want to see make a name for themselves, grab that starting job as training camp gets underway?
Well, I really apologize if this bores some people, but I think it's pretty notable. Obviously, well, this isn't a battle, but we all knew, you know, with Jason Kelsey retiring, we have a new starting center. That was going to be a thing, and it's expected that Cam Jurgens will fill that role. I'd imagine he's going to be the guy. I don't see, you know.
I sure hope so.
Sure hope so. So I'd imagine he'll be the day one starter. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to hear how he's performing, even just in training camp. But then moving on, I think the offensive line is interesting. There is a battle. There is a battle, actually. An unexpected one. I don't know if you expected this, but right guard. Obviously, Tyler Steen for about over a year now seemed to be the consensus guy. I believe he's a former, third-round pick? Is it third or fourth-round pick?
Third.
A lot of talent potential there, obviously, but it was expected he would fill in that spot. We have a camp battle potentially because if you remember correctly, the Eagles added Mekhi Becton not too long ago, former New York Jets tackle, who was another guy, big dude, athletic, strong, who had a lot of potential coming into the league, but due to several reasons hasn't panned out. And you know, if there was ever a location,
for the most part,
if there was ever a destination for any offensive lineman to go to one developer, turn their career around, it would be here because we have Jeff Stoutland. He has done it time and time again with countless players. I mean, he turned Jason Kelsey into a Hall of Famer. He's got Jordan Mailata as a former rugby player, as one of the best tackles in the league. No need to continue anymore. But Mekhi Becton may be competing for the right guard spot. So, I don't know if you would consider that like cross training or what. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if he wins that right guard spot, or even if he's the backup right guard, could he also be a backup tackle in case, you know, I hope to God nothing happens to, you know, one of the guys. But I guess his like floor would be he would be the first backup. So in that scenario, he could play right guard or tackle, whatever the hell, you know, is needed. But that's something to keep an eye on. Like I said, I mean, you know, maybe he picks it up pretty quickly. It's a new position. Tyler Steen, you know, has the advantage of it's a position he's played and was, you know, expected to be. So that I think that'll be interesting. And like, look, man, like we keep saying, like, the crazy thing is, I don't know off the top of my head, you probably know this, where the Eagles offense finished last season in the NFL, but we said
they were
top
10. Top
10. And that's a testament to like that scheme was so stale and everybody figured
testament
it out.
Testament to the talent. The talent outworks the scheme.
And yeah, we lost
until
Jason
the last
Kelsey,
five,
but
6 weeks. Yeah.
Slot in Saquon Barkley, you know, so to a very talented team. As far as they didn't really need to make any other roster, I would say, changes on offense. I mean, we'll talk about wide receiver three as another camp battle. But you know, bringing in Kellen Moore is no joke. New scheme. Let's just call it that. It's a new scheme. It is that.
Brand
They're going to have
from the ground up. They broke it all down and rebuilt it. Yep.
So sure that'll be interesting. But my other takeaway really quickly before you chime in, I don't know it off the top of my head. I'm going to have to pull it up. I don't know if it gives you – I'm looking at the Eagles offensive line right now. Like, these guys are huge. Fucking ginormous. So like if Mekhi Becton, I mean, I guess I don't know Tyler Steen's size off the top of my head, but if Mekhi Becton wins that starting right guard spot, they might have like,
well, Becton's,
oh my God,
Becton
Tyler
is
Steen
6'7".
Is 6'6".
Yeah, and Becton is 6'7", 350 pounds. So.
Yeah, these guys are ginormous. So, man.
That was the whole thing with Becton playing guard, because he's at that size. They were like, we don't know if he can do it, but they brought him in to do that. He's played tackle throughout his whole career. And your point to cross training, that's exactly what Stoutland has him doing. But if he
well, there's an
the
advantage
camp
to that though too.
Mm-hmm.
You want ideally, I'll say this. Maybe I'm wrong. But ideally, Tyler Steen wins the job, but Mekhi Becton picks up right guard quickly, because what you can do is you can bring him in on running downs. Like he should be. He may not translate because of, like you said, some of his limitations, like pass blocking. But running wise, that dude can just get out there and maul people. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Could be just the sixth man in general. Like you're up next, regardless who goes. Minus center.
Yeah,
you're next up, no matter who goes down, because you're familiar with all these positions. But he impressed a lot of people at OTAs with his progression of learning guard and working with Stoutland and stuff like that. But moral of the situation is that it's essentially Steen's job to lose, unless he goes out there and looks like how Andre Dillard did. And at his position a few years back when basically Mailata just took over, then I think Steen ends up being the starter. He'll at least start the year there. And if Becton continues to impress and Steen doesn't, then maybe we'll see it there. There's also Matt Hennessy, who came in as a veteran and who has that presence, who can be a reliable backup. So you have him that you can slide in there as well if things get out of hand. But I do see Steen winning this job, unless something drastic happens in camp. But Becton, like to your point, don't sleep on him, because he was making some noise in OTAs. And at his size, if you can have him in there protecting Jalen Hurts, That'll be that'll be fun to see. He's only 25 years old, so he can certainly earn himself an extension. He said in his press conference during OTAs that he would like to be here long term. He said this is a whole different culture, and he's happier here, essentially. Seems like every player when they come here, minus the last 6 weeks of last season, every player when they come here, they are happier. So Becton sounds like he likes it here. He likes what he's doing. He certainly is flexible with learning the positions, which he may not have been a few years back when he got drafted. You know, this is what I got drafted to. This is what I'm going to play. But now he knows he injuries banged him up. And you have a short career in the NFL if you don't learn to be versatile. So he's taking that job on this summer, and I'm excited to see where that goes. So moving on to wide receiver, I guess we will say, because this is one that it seems to be a divide amongst the fans anyway, because some people seem to think that we're fine with what we have with Paris Campbell and the bunch. John Ross is here. Some people are excited about him. You have Anaya Smith, who was injured at the moment, but he has some great college film. Britton Covey, we'll talk about your guy because, hey, your narrative that you threw like 3, 4, 5 months ago, that shit might happen. I'll let you talk about it in a second. But a part of me feels like that the true WR3 isn't really on this roster, and I'm not surprised that another one hasn't been brought in since, because I know they want to see what they have in camp, and then if it's not going your way and it's looking like, oh man, if Smitty or AJ go down, we might be in a spot. Let's go trade for somebody. Maybe Howie has an eye there. But what is kind of your thought process as far as wide receiver 3? Because obviously you have Devontae, you have AJ, both signed extensions this summer. They're not going anywhere. But freak stuff happens. You know, knock on wood, injuries happen. If one of them go down for an extended period of time, are you confident with who we have in place as far as wide receiver is concerned?
Well, I'll start with this. Like, obviously, we would all prefer for them to have more of a talented wide receiver 3 option, or more of a certainty, you know, on the roster. But we don't, but I will say this too before I dive into some of the names.
I think Devontae Parker was like the most surefire thing we had at WR3 before he retired. I think he had like one practice with Smitty and AJ, and he was like, "Oh hell no, I don't got it no more. I can't run with these guys. I'm out of here." So, but I felt like he, just based on his skill set alone, because the guys we do have on the roster, there's a lot of slot guys, and we don't have like another guy who can play on the outside. They could play on the outside, but you don't have another like true outside guy. Devontae Parker was that. And now you don't have that. So what do the Eagles do now?
You feel great about Kellen Moore being here because he is routinely.
He uses WR3 though. He uses the hell out of his.
Right. I guess that's more the concern because he's used them so heavily. But like, look, you got to develop somebody. Somebody has to pan out. They have a few names as far as skill set and roles. I think that'll be dependent on what Kellen Moore is looking for, but obviously returning on the team, former strictly special teams guy, Britton Covey, who's always been at the end of the wide receiver depth chart. He's like a slot guy.
You're sneaky contender for wide receiver time this year.
Dark Horse, man. Yeah,
Dark Horse, I mean, WR5, 6, what'd you call him?
Yeah, and maybe Anaya Smith, it's too early. You mentioned earlier before we got on here, he's been dealing with injuries. Maybe it's just too early for him to get in there and actually win the job, you know, quickly. But I think he projects. I was high on him coming out of the draft, and he certainly has a skill set and one that could be versatile. I guess maybe the question mark is maybe he can't play outside, but I mean, look, you got Devontae and AJ Brown. I wouldn't write him off necessarily on being some type of like receiver that can move around a little bit, but he's got the most, I would say the most potential out of all the wide receiver 3 guys, only because he hasn't been in the pros yet, and he's got a ton of, you know, speed, explosion to his game. I think he could be used on multiple levels of the field. We'll have to see, man. That it's going to be a big talking point of training camp. And obviously, you know, they took a flyer on John Ross, a guy who hasn't been around, you know, for a while, but
look good though. No TAs. Still look quick.
Could he be a better Quez Watkins?
I hope so. If Quez Watkins is the floor, then I mean,
well, and like, let's be fair. How would you grade Quez Watkins' wide receiver 3 production the year they went? Listen, the year they went to the Super Bowl, that was a pretty good year out of him.
Yeah, it was a good year until they needed him to. He still came up short and crucial. Like he was the reason they lost that Washington game. He dropped that ball in the Super Bowl. Like you want guys who can make those plays. If John Ross could do that. Okay, I'm not sure how much he can after being removed from football for a year. But hey, you need, sometimes you need your third receivers to make plays, and I don't know.
They may
know
do
if
whatever the hell the Phillies
roster.
Are doing with their outfield, whatever position that is. The what is it, platoon? I'm trying to learn this shit, this baseball shit, man. The term platoon, I'm assuming, is a group of people. So maybe that's what it is, a wide receiver three. Like
by committee. You want W3 by committee? WR3 by committee is how we're gonna do it. What are your chances of big Johnny Wilson being a contributor this year?
He's interesting. Six. Obviously, that's a lot of size there. It'll be interesting to see.
He might be your best outside option, except for maybe Joseph Ngata.
Well, so that's where it gets interesting. It's all whatever Kellen Moore wants to deploy. And yeah, I know in the past he's put out. I mean, Kellen Moore's used like four wide receiver sets.
He does not shy away from using all the receivers he could possibly put out there.
You know, and if you're the Eagles, I'm not sure if you love that with the, you know, receivers.
You know what
that
it's going to end up being? You know what's going to end up being? Obviously, we still have Dallas Goedert, who's still a premier tight end in this league. You're expecting more production out of him. But we're going to be seeing a lot of Saquon in the slot. I mean, this is what it's going to be.
I mean, you paid him. That's the other thing.
They paid him to be more than a back. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I hope. I trust Kellen Moore, but I hope, like, he looks at this team and is like, all right, I may have to just like tinker how I do things a little bit. Like, look at the roster. Yeah, like
Kellen Moore was instrumental in bringing in Saquon. Like, he looked at him and was like, get me that guy. And well
there
this
you
offense
go.
Can
I mean,
go.
Maybe
this offense can go to the next level if you bring me him. You know.
Yeah, like maybe we see that. Like, you know. I don't want to play this game because at the end of the day, yeah, you want to maximize this offense and all the talent that they have and help out your quarterback. But like at the end of the day, the top names on offense as far as pass catchers are A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and I guess you can throw in, you hope,
Saquon
is a factor in it. So yeah. Like with that in mind, you look at Dallas Goedert's stats last year, and we keep saying this, and I'm not saying this to knock on Goddard because it's not his fault.
It's certainly not his fault.
It's not his fault. This team is stacked. It's loaded. But if you look at his numbers, it wouldn't tell you he's one of the best wide receiving tight ends in the league if you just look at yardage and stuff like that. But, you know, he gives you a ton of production. I mean, he's an every down player. He can block, can run routes. He's a threat. He's really a threat all over the field in the passing game, screen game, can send him deep, attack the middle of the field.
I think my issue is the talent drop off from like WR2 to WR3.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not denying that.
I think that's my concern. Like, you lose one of these guys even for a week. Like,
yeah, that's
Paris,
the issue.
It's Paris Campbell and AJ, Paris Campbell
that's
and Devonta.
That's the issue.
Like, I don't, and I'm not knocking on Paris. Like, he's a good player, but you don't want to have to rely on him as like one of your top receivers. The Giants had to do that, and look where that got him. So
you think like the goal? I mean, I guess I'm asking a really
I think
dumb
they bring
question.
In. I think they bring in someone. I think.
Oh wow!
If I had to guess, I think they bring in someone at some point before the season starts. Whether it's there's some guys out there. If you can swing a corner for receiver trade with the Texans for like John Mechie, they're loaded at receiver. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. They got a lot of guys over there. If you can pull John Mechie out of there. Or if you can get Treylon Burks out of Tennessee or Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall, maybe.
Moment.
Yeah, it would be. Terrace Marshall out of Carolina. Like, if you can get one of those guys, I think
Are
I
you
think
just
that
saying
would,
that those names? Like, is there anything behind any of that? Or
those
what?
Are names that I think could be available, yeah. I think those are names that would make sense, I think. I think the Titans are going to go full fire sale.
Well, Terrace Marshall is like a true outside guy, right?
Exactly. I think that works. And we have a surplus of corners. They can certainly swap one for a receiver at some point. So I think that checks out. Hunter Renfrow, still a free agent, but again, he's a slot guy. You already have enough slot guys. So there's still some guys that makes sense that the Eagles would have to go and probably give up assets for. But the concern, the talent disparity between the second receiver and the third receiver is worrisome to me.
let's stay on this really quickly. Cause I feel like this is something nobody talks about. I'm sure there's some Eagles fans out there that do it. So I apologize if you do, but we sit here, the Eagles made the coordinator changes were the two biggest coaching changes this offseason, but they brought in a lot of positional coaches. I think about the defensive line guy they brought in, obviously
Clint
Jeff
Hurt,
Stoutland.
Clint Hurt. And
yeah, I believe they even made
Christian
changes.
Parker, the DB's coach. Christian
yeah,
Parker.
Yeah, the linebacker's coach was brought in here too, right?
Yeah, I forget his name, but they brought another guy in here, yep.
So and we talk about obviously you want to retain Jeff Stoutland, honestly just fucking pay him to be the coach the rest of his career at this point. But Aaron Moorhead, he's been the Eagles wide receiver coach for quite some time.
Good point.
Like, I'm with you. I wouldn't mind if they traded for one of those names that you said. And maybe, again, maybe it's too premature to hope they could develop. And I'm telling you, man, I'm high on Anaya Smith. I'm telling you, I'm high on him.
I know you are. He was your
guy. I think he has a lot of potential.
You drafted him. I couldn't believe it because that's...
Yeah, I mean, it was like literally one of the few draft report or scouting things that I wrote before the draft.
You wrote it way before, way before there was even any talks of the Eagles taking a receiver.
But, you know, to make it back on Aaron Moorhead, like, that's his job. He's the wide receivers coach, man. Like I'm not saying, like, oh, is he on the hot seat? But, like, you know, let's take a look at him. Like, what's going on there? Like, why, you know, you bring in, you know, AJ and Devontae. I don't want to, like, take all the credit away.
Wait, I'm confused on what your stance is on Aaron Moorhead. Are you saying he's a good coach?
Got to develop somebody. Develop somebody.
Oh, it's up to him. Oh,
somebody.
I got it. I
like, somebody has to develop. You're the wide receiver coach. Like, just somebody. I'm not saying they have to turn into a Pro Bowl.
I guess Devontae came in as talented.
The bar is low. We're just asking for them to find a way to come up with a legitimate wide receiver three on this team.
You're talking
about making trades and stuff. Howie has given this guy a lot of talent. A lot of talent.
Wide receiver coaching is tough because you can't, like, coach a guy to be talented. Like, Devontae came in, obviously, as advertised. AJ came in as one of the top receivers in the league. I mean, right? I guess you
well,
can...
Well, who was Dallas's wide receiver three under Kellen Moore?
It was Gallup.
He's talented,
it might have been Gallup. Or was it Cedric Wilson? No.
You got to give him credit for both.
He got some uses out of...
There was some development there.
Yeah, Gallup you can look at.
So I'm saying, you know, they got to come together. They got to pull it off. They got to figure it out.
Yeah, I understand. I hear what you're saying.
Because that's where I'm leaning. Like, yeah, you can go out and make a trade, but also, like, I wouldn't bank on it. I would not bank on it.
Noah Brown was in Dallas. He has some familiarity. The Texans just re-signed Noah Brown, so I'm not sure if they
can trade him. Moore was there. Gallup, was he their wide receiver three? I guess what would have been? It would have been...
Yeah, because they had Cooper and Lamb, right? And then Gallup
was
there.
Yeah, so, and I don't know what his stats were that year, but I think he had a huge...
They were good.
They were good, yeah.
They had, like, the top four offense in the league, so they were definitely good. But I think he had the top offense, actually.
You know, it's hard to say. Like, you can't put too much stock into the numbers on this team because, again, another thing we keep forgetting to talk about, they're going to be running the ball a lot. I'd imagine, you know,
if Saquon's not getting
maybe
20
not
carries
as much
game,
as they once were. I think they do want to throw it more, but yeah,
they
like they're going to run.
Saquon's
the
getting his 20-25 carries a game. Like, he's not. There's no way.
Damn,
there's no way they didn't
carry it that much.
Yes, he's gonna. Okay, touches. I'll say touches. Okay, yeah, 20 touches a game. That's for sure. You didn't pay him $13 million a year not to carry the ball all game long, especially down the stretch. So I certainly think they'll be handing him the ball a fair amount. But yeah, I have a hard. It's Aaron Moorhead thing is tough because...
Yeah, I'm not.
I guess
saying
you could say like Rager. I mean, he didn't, saying, like, should, yeah, he didn't do anything. Didn't do anything with Rager and like J.J. Obviously, but like, is that his fault?
They were bad picks.
They were just like they. Just,
I guess it's
they
fair
were
to say
players.
Those two were as much as bad picks as getting AJ and Devontae were good. Yeah, great. Yeah.
I get it though. You do want to develop. I see where you're coming. You definitely should be able to.
I'm not asking
players,
too much. I'm just looking around on the team at all these guys that have been developed.
Like, what
at
is
other
like
positions.
What is the ceiling of Paris Campbell? Like, what can you extract out of him that we already have?
One of these guys just like turn him into a guy like better than
I think
what
it's,
they
like
had.
It's just gonna be Kellen
better than Quez and better than Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah, well, Zaccheaus was good last year. We should have brought him back, to be honest. Especially from a blocking perspective, that man did a lot of
who
the
is
blocks.
Eagles wide. So their wide receivers, they won the Super Bowl. It was Alshon, Nelson Aguilar. Oh, and Torrey Smith. Was Torrey Smith wide receiver three?
He was two. Aguilar was three. Yeah. Mm. Torrey was like the deep threat. Alshon was the big body guy. Aguilar was the do it all gadget stuff.
And like, look, again, the wide receiver three, whether it's one guy that just wins in camp or if it's the committee approach, like, they just need some production out of them.
My issue is that I don't see anybody just like grabbing that job by the horns in camp. I think they are just kind of like, unless Johnny Wilson is like crazy in camp or something, or Joseph Ngata, who's good in camp last year. It'll be interesting. I just think that receiver that they want to be behind Smitty and AJ isn't currently on the roster. I'll be intrigued to see who it is they inevitably target. I think we'll revisit this
guy
in a few weeks. I'm not shitting on him. I think they could do the
you don't
committee.
Believe in him.
WR3 by committee. That's what.
What
you
if
want?
He grabs it by that. The horns?
Who? Brent Covey?
Anaya Smith.
Well, yeah, we have to get him healthy. We'll get him healthy and then go. He didn't do anything in OTAs because of his injury, so we'll see what happens in practice. So that's the interesting thing about
They've seemed invested in him for some time. I mean, they had him in for an early draft visit and everything.
There was a guy on the board that people wanted over him at the time. I can't remember his name.
It might have been a bigger body receiver.
It was definitely a bigger guy. I'll have that name on the next show. I should have had that ready.
Was it an Oregon player?
I can't remember, but there was definitely like, I wanted him instead. So we'll come back to that on the next episode.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The next battle, another interesting one. One of the top ones in this draft, I'll say next to right guard, is CB2. Mm. Because that job, who we all assume Quindian Mitchell, you know, first round pick, will it'll eventually be his through at some point in the season. But you have
Kelly Ringo. Start on day one, man.
It's tough because you have Kelly Ringo, who impressed in stints last year. He was good matched up on DK Metcalf. There was reports out there that he was the best player on the best corner and throughout all of OTAs. Again, no pads, whatever. But there's reports out there that he looked the best of all the corners in OTAs. You also have Isaiah Rodgers, who's not just a slot guy. Isaiah Rodgers, who also impressed throughout OTAs. AJ himself said he is a good player. For a guy that's removed from football, you cannot tell from the things he is doing on the field. So you just gave me a hint on how you feel about how this kind of shakes out. Because Slay is obviously CB1. This last year of his contract, it's probably his last year here. He'll go out into the sunset and then do whatever the future holds for him. So Slay for one more year at CB1. Obviously, Quinyon, that'll be his job moving forward. But as far as CB2, assuming James Bradbury's not here, because he's still on this roster, assuming he's not here, Quinyon Mitchell, Kelly Ringo, Isaiah Rodgers, or someone else. Who's your pick at that spot? Who starts CB2 day one? How do you see the training camp job shaking out? Or the training camp battle, rather, shaking out?
I mean, I sound desperate saying this, but it's got to be Quinyon Mitchell. It's like, come on. Like, he's
over Ringo? Over Ringo, you think, too?
He's got so much talent. I mean,
who has NFL experience already?
Yeah.
Don't they just rotate him in? You think he should just start on the outside, week one, snap one?
I don't see why not. First round pick. We all sat here and said he's the best goddamn corner in the draft that fell to him.
He was.
I mean, he's got the talent. Like, the thing with that is, like, you want to throw him out there, give him the experience early.
Throw him into the deep end, huh? Not necessarily the deep end.
I mean, Darius Slay is on the other end.
I mean, like, it's not the deepest end you could be in, but it's still the deep end. It's not like you're throwing him out there.
You don't sound confident.
I don't see the Eagles putting him out there on the very first snap of week one.
You don't think they're going to put their first round pick out there?
I don't think so. I don't.
That's insane.
I think Ringo. I would bet money that it's Ringo.
That's insane.
We'll see how camp. Ringo has the NFL experience. He played a lot of snaps down the stretch for them last year. He matched up well on Metcalf in the Seattle game. I think he showed some things. Again, we'll see what preseason holds. We'll get to see a lot of these guys in preseason. But I think Ringo I think Ringo, for now, for the first like 3 to 4 weeks of the season, I think he should be starting opposite Slay. From what I've seen thus far from last year in OTAs, and so this is all we have to go off of. We haven't seen Quinyon. We don't know what he can do. I will say, I remember watching Quinyon in the Senior Bowl, and I was thinking to myself just how, like, I remember watching him play and being like, there's just no shot he'll fall to the Eagles. Like, there's no way in hell he's going to make it past 15, let alone the 20. He was that good, sticking Roman Wilson and those guys out there in the Senior Bowl. And for him to fall that far, I couldn't believe it. And then to get Cooper DeJean later in the draft, that is an even bigger feat that the Eagles somehow pulled off.
I got several of my guys, man, because Quinyon Mitchell was my guy in the first round, and I told you that. We argued about it.
It's not that we argued about it. I didn't entertain it because I didn't think he would fall that far, so I just didn't bother spending energy on it. I was like, he won't be there. Why are we arguing about it? and then he fell. So I just couldn't. I just couldn't believe it.
I'm not trying to shit on the other guys. I'm just saying, like, you know, that's a first round talent.
I get it. You spent first round resources. He should be out there. I understand. Would you feel the same? I mean, because if you look at it from teams that have picked receivers with first round picks, they're going to play week one. Malik Nabers, those guys, they're going to play week one. So
damn near same as I did when they drafted Devontae Smith. That's how I feel about it.
I get it.
We just so happen to have Darius.
Devon Witherspoon played a lot last year. Like, those first round corners, they get a lot of run. So I'm not saying Quinyon's incapable.
Probably a bad comparison, but I just see it that way.
I'm not saying Quinyon's incapable of starting week one. I'm just saying I feel like they would feel safer with somebody like Ringo or Rodgers out there before throwing Quinyon out there to the Philadelphia fans.
He gets burned the first snap, and then all his confidence is shot. Listen,
but like,
I think that they think that they got their corner of the future, the present, and the now, the generational corner that we haven't had in quite some time, out of the draft, and we're going to get him out there.
There's going to be, I'll say, amongst this cornerback group, there's 15 corners on this roster at the moment. 15.
You didn't even.
There's going to be some fan favorites cut. Eli Ricks. There's going to be some guys cut that fans
did
like.
You mentioned Josh Jobe.
Why would we? He was horrible. he's gone. Those guys are gone. If you have the surplus, if you're not trading one, there's going to be some painful cuts made on that group with all the talent that they have.
Trading one, I can tell you right now.
James Bradbury.
Get the hell out of here. Why is he still here?
Playing safety now, or whatever the hell he's doing.
I don't know.
He didn't even practice a lot of OTAs. He like got injured, quote unquote.
I bet he did.
And was just held out of practices. It's just all of it's not a good look. And teams know that they don't want him, so they're not going to trade for him. If they cut him, they can spread the cap head out over 2 years. I'm not exactly sure what they're waiting on. Maybe they're hoping he's just an expensive backup. Like, if somebody gets hurt, we could throw him out there and just pay him and figure it out.
Throwing out there, some people are making it seem like just because of his versatility that Cooper DeJean would be more of a lock to have a starting role early compared to Quinyon Mitchell because of his versatility.
Because he can play safety and things like that, and we're thinner at safety than we are at cornerback.
Well, is that a camp battle then? Because then you ask yourself, could Cooper DeJean compete? It's probably not fair to ask this, but could he compete against Avante Maddox for that role?
For the safety or slot?
No, not the safety. Slot? The nickel, whatever the hell you want to call it.
The nickel, I think that is between, Maddox is still here. So you have Maddox. You can throw Eli Ricks into that conversation. Cooper DeJean.
Maybe it's more likely safety stuff, huh?
You could throw Zach McPherson into the conversation, who was essentially the backup nickel last year before he think he tore his Achilles. He was out for the year. So he was the backup nickel. Zach McPherson's back. So I think that comes down to Maddox, McPherson, and Cooper DeJean. And then Ricks, it's tough for me to find out where Ricks is going to be because, like, I think he's still on the team, but, like, it's tough to see where he's going to have the opportunity to play because he showed some stuff, like Ringo, he showed some stuff last year too. But I don't know, the opportunities for him might be few and far in between. But I think DeJean has a good shot of playing some nickel, playing some safety because safety is kind of, unless they sign somebody, I thought Eddie Jackson was going to be one of those guys, but he just went to Baltimore, and I don't think Justin Simmons is going to happen. So right now it's just Sidney Brown who's on the pup list. Blankenship.
Yeah, you forgot.
And CJ Gardner-Johnson, and it's thin there. Maddox, they've been teasing, you know, the Maddox safety thing for a while. Maybe they throw Cooper DeJean back there. They have Mekhi Gardner, who they like at safety too. So that's another thin spot that Cooper DeJean could find some playing time in.
That's why I brought it up, you know, because you sound uncertain about Quinyon Mitchell.
I just feel like they would go. I feel like it's safer to go with them week one. Like, if Quinyon goes out there week one, snap one, and gets burned on the first play, and his confidence is kind of shook, like, I think you go out there with a guy who is who has played, I think you kind of ease him in there. He could start by week three or four. That's fine. But I don't like week one. He's starting. I'll eat my words if that happens. But I find it hard to believe that he'll be starting on the very first snap on week one. I feel like
what's more likely? What's more likely? The day one starting wide receiver three is Burton Covey, or
that's definitely not happening.
The other outside starting corner is Quinyon Mitchell.
If we're down to Burton Covey as WR three, something went drastically wrong.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, he might fit. He can get some wide receiver
snaps. That is fine. He can get some snaps. He's not going to be the starting. Like when that graphic comes up on Fox for the starting lineup, Britton Covey will not be there,
man.
Britton Covey.
Oh man, you just gave me the butterflies, dude.
Oh yeah, I know.
That feeling of just, you know, those 10 to 15 minutes before the game and they start flashing all that stuff up there. Holy shit, we're so close, but so far
it is a lot. But there's a ton of corners on this team.
Tell you what, preseason might be a fun time. I might have to go to a preseason game. There's a lot to look at.
We do every year. You act like we don't. We do every
Pickett
year.
Pickett as the backup QB.
God, yeah. You want to talk about that QB2 battle? It's Kenny Pickett, right? Tanner McKee's isn't good enough to unseat Kenny Pickett as QB2.
That preseason's going to be electric, man.
Oh man, yeah! If Kenny Pickett's slinging that thing, you know we're gonna have a certain demographic of fans talking about it's time to get him out there.
Especially if he's
that
throwing
offense.
The fucking ball to Britton Covey in preseason.
Yeah, God, man, Jesus Christ, yeah. All right, so we talked a little bit about the slot. We're gonna talk about your favorite position.
Wait, you want to go there? I mean, we got two white safeties now.
Yeah, we do. Oh, well, yeah, Reed and Cooper. Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you see my post? You can't say some of the names on here for reasons. But did you see the? I made a post of like what their nicknames would be. There are some funny ones in there. I can't say them because some of them lean on race a little too heavily.
You can't say them, but you wrote them.
All the fans wrote them. I just included them. I did not write them, but there are some funny ones in there.
Why don't you say?
I think. So say it. I think. I think it was Snow Fly Zone. I think is my favorite. Not
Holy
No Fly
shit.
Snow. They said Snow Fly Zone. I can lean on that one. That one or the Milky Way. I'm down for either one.
Jesus. Just imagine Snow Fly the all-white uniforms to go with it, too. Wait. Is the white helmet being used this year?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was just bullshit.
That was just a Isaiah Rogers thing.
Getting a little carried away now.
Yeah, we are getting
I remember I was pissed when I thought Darius Slay said they weren't going to wear Kelly Greens. I was sick. Remember that? There was like that brief time period where we thought, I don't know if Slay said it on his podcast or whatever, but there was like some sort of rumor or something that got out there that they were done with the Kelly Greens. I was pretty pissed about that. Pretty pissed, but apparently that wasn't true. So they'll be wearing them against, Dallas. I think they'll be wearing them against Dallas one game.
Dallas.
And the Jaguars.
And hopefully in a game that matters. I'll be sick of it. Like,
can't wear them to the fucking Brazil game, apparently, huh?
Yeah, green or whatever.
Speaking
whatever
of schedule,
happening.
Yeah, how about that? Kicking off the season, what, Friday Night Football? I like that. I'll tell you what, I like that because Friday Night Football...
You just said he didn't.
Listen, it's not really a thing for me. Well, my brother will be a senior. That's the last high school football that I'll be getting, you know, this year. But after that, you know, Friday Night Football won't really be a thing for me. Get it week one. Get it week one in the NFL this year, huh?
You'll get a taste of it.
Every goddamn day of the week, football is going to be on, it seems.
I think the last battle we have here is one of your favorites, dating OGs. No, we had this argument years ago because it was truly a question at that time, and I think it is now. Tight end two.
Oh, my God.
Backup tight. Hey, man, Goddard goes down. We saw what it was last year when we didn't have Goddard. That's another thing about Goddard. He has to stay healthy. He has freak injuries every year. But if Goddard goes down, Calcaterra, CJ Uzama, Albert O, EJ Jenkins, who made some plays in OTAs, made some plays. How are you feeling about that situation? Who is your ideal pick for it? Because Jack Stahl is now Giant, so he is no longer here. But how are you feeling about the tight end two? Because it's not that we'll be seeing a ton of them, but if you have to, how do you like how this? How,
I mean, not
how
great.
That
I mean,
up?
Remember how again? It's a new scheme, but remember how stale that offense was when Goddard went down, and that's like the concern.
When Goddard wasn't in the lineup, Jalen Hurts wasn't even looking at tight ends. Like he didn't even entertain it.
In a perfect world, nobody gets hurt, and like when we sit here and we're talking about backup players, your first thought is like, oh man, maybe you know a few snaps, rotational snaps a game, you don't feel bad about them. But what you got to account for is like, you know, when you're a backup, you're also. You could be tasked with filling into a starting spot if somebody goes down, and you don't feel great about that. I don't feel great about the names that they have. Grant Calcaterra, that's more of a passing or receiving tight end, I should say. Don't know a whole lot about CJ Uzama. I'm assuming they like him more than Calcaterra because, well, one, he's bigger, but also he's been in the NFL, you know, much longer, maybe more of a versatile skill set there. But yeah, I mean, I'd imagine when everybody's healthy,
they brought back Albert O for a reason. They re-signed him, so he's in the air.
So I can't imagine when everybody's healthy. Even when everybody's healthy, Kellen Moore's going to have many. I don't think he uses two tight end sets a whole lot. I could be wrong. I don't know if he
uses.
Really
he uses the third receiver a lot more than he does his tight end too. So that is the thing. But it's interesting. They brought back Albert O. He had a 300-yard season with the Broncos in 2021. Hasn't really done much since. But the Eagles liked him enough to bring him back. So we'll see. Calcaterra, he mentioned, still around. Still has all those concussions in the past. So hopefully he steers clear of those. Uzama as a veteran presence. So hopefully Goddard is healthy. And we don't have to deal with that a whole bunch. But the games that they were without Goddard, the offense was visibly limited because Hurts was not looking at tight ends in that.
Hey, once that, again, another developmental thing, which I really can't believe I'm saying this about the tight end spot, but
I'm shocked they didn't draft one, to be honest. I thought they were gonna draft one. Because they drafted Ertz. They drafted Goddard around like when Ertz was this age. So you would have thought they would draft one.
Yeah, that sucks. I can't believe we're having that conversation now.
That Goddard's like 29 now.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That sucks.
Yeah, man.
I really like him.
Time moves. Last point I want to make before we put a bow on this one. I'm going to read you, just because we mentioned the corners. I'm going to read you the corners on this roster, and I want you to tell me who doesn't make it out of this group. Who gets cut? Let's assume they will keep. How many corners do you think they keep? 7, 8. Let's say 8 to be generous. Let's say they keep 8 corners on the roster. These are 14 of them. They have Perry Nickerson on the roster, but I'm going to assume
he's sticking around. What the hell, man?
So I'll read you the names. Ready? They have Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Isaiah Rogers, Avante Maddox.
Just scratch James Bradbury the hell off this fucking
list. Okay, that's one.
He may be on the fucking team or whatever, but.
Keely Ringo, Zach McPherson, Josh Jobe, Mario Goodrich, Tyler Hall, Mekhi Gardner, Sean Stevens. Which of those names don't? There's gonna be a name or two cut that the fans aren't gonna like. Some fan favorite's getting out of here.
I'm gonna answer the
Josh Jobe is cut.
I was gonna answer the tricky question first. I was gonna say between McPherson and Jobe.
Yeah, Jobe's gone. He's gone.
The reason I would say, I mean, you said McPherson might be able to play some safety. I mean, maybe that'll keep him here just because of, if you want to say versatility there, you can play
McPherson,
nickel.
McPherson will play the nickel. Maddox and Mekhi Gardner will play safety. Well, they have played safety, so they'll do that. They like Mekhi Gardner for the safety versatility. I think Jobe is gone. Oh, I'm going to say Goodrich is gone. Yeah. Bradbury can't be here. I don't see it. That's only 3. Like, what do they do with... Some guys are going on the practice squad. Some guys are going on the practice squad. Some Goodrich. Tyler Hall might be practice squad.
I mean, it's interesting because with Sidney Brown being out, there's a spot there for just secondary in general, you know?
Yeah. I'll say the 7 corners they keep. Slay, Quinyon, DeJean, Rogers, Maddox, Ricks, Ringo, McPherson. That's 8. They keep those 8. And then they'll keep Mekhi Gardner, Tyler Hall, and those guys on the practice squad. Josh Jobe, I don't think, will be on the team in any capacity. That's going to be tough, though. That's going to be literally dogs on dogs in cornerback. That's like, we went from not having any cornerbacks to having a surplus of them now, and we're going to have to figure that out. But I think that's going to be one of the more interesting battles in training camp as we see who tries to, not only CP2, but he tries to stick around on the spot. On the roster in general, as far as cornerback is concerned. Anything else as far as training camp before they get started that you have your eye on? Anything we missed? Anything? Obviously, we're going to have our eyes on Saquon, seeing how he... Because he had like a relatively quiet... It's hard as a running back to like make noise.
He's on a media tour.
He is on a media tour. But he's not that you can make a whole lot of noise in OTAs, but he had a relatively quiet like OTAs. Like, it's not like he did anything that was like, oh my God, look at Saquon. But like, it's like Hurts. Like, he's a gamer. He'll get in there and he'll impress. Will Shipley did some fun things in OTAs. Are you excited about? We didn't talk about the running backs at all behind Saquon, obviously, because Saquon is the headline here. But Shipley, Gainwell, I think, you know, I still like what Gainwell brings, and I think Will Shipley can do some things. What's funny about that?
It's just funny. He's lasted, you know.
Gainwell unsat Miles Sanders as the Super Bowl running back.
He's hung in there.
he's still around. Boston Scott's on the Rams now, so they finally kicked him.
Was there talks that the Panthers would cut Miles Sanders? I remember that.
They're talking about it. Yeah,
I mean, why would the
he lost his job to what's his name? Chuba Hubbard. So I mean, it's like he just didn't look good last year, and that contract is kind of just sitting there. 4 years, they gave him 4 years, $25 million.
Joke of a franchise in sports.
A lot of money for a running back they're not going to use. They might cut ties. I'm not saying bring them back here, but they.
Hey, well, they
might be done with don't.
No. I didn't say it. You're the Miles Sanders guy. I was like right.
I'm not. When was I the Miles Sanders
guy? You were always the Miles Sanders guy.
When?
Come on.
When was I ever sitting here capping
for
Miles Sanders?
It's not a wrong thing to admit it. He was good when he was here. He was a good player.
I was capping for Swift. I was capping for Swift.
Which is why when that.
I wanted them to bring back Swift if they were going to do it. Obviously, I like Saquon here, but we're going to miss Swift, I think.
Yeah, that was quite the few days there when we lost Swift and we're like, shit, what the hell are you going to do?
Who the hell is going to be our running back? We're looking at people are talking about Eckler. I'm like, bro,
damn.
Don't do that.
Hey,
don't.
Do you think there's a world where Shipley could surpass Gainwell?
Yeah, for sure.
That's interesting.
I think so. Shipley is explosive. I think he does some
That'd be something to keep
things.
An eye on.
So that'll be that.
Speaking
be
of keeping
RB2
an eye
bad.
On, really, really quickly, it's not really camp battles because it's like a new defensive scheme and like, yeah, we the thing with we're talking defensive line now. The thing with them is it's all about.
I know where we're headed.
Listen, it's all about development with these guys. Like they have their spots locked in. It's just like you hope that they pan out and develop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Obviously, Jordan Davis is the first name that comes to mind. I'm comfortable with Jalen Carter. It was his rookie year last year. My God,
he showed me enough for me to be confident.
Ton of potential. But Jordan, everybody should be, their eyes should be all over Jordan Davis. This has to be the year. It just has to be the year for him.
Yeah.
You invested that pick in him, and he's got to be more than just a run stuffer. I know he's a very, very big dude. But they drafted him that high because they believed he could turn into not an every
game
down guy, but
be a game wrecker. Yeah.
Get him out there on crucial downs on defense. It'll be interesting to see Reddick's replacement, Bryce Huff, see how he looks. It's just training camp right now. I don't really know how much.
There's a name that everybody's going to be staring at. This even more so than Jordan Davis, I think.
Are we talking on the defensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nolan Smith.
Yep, that's it. That boy needs. I mean, he doesn't need to have like a crazy season, but he needs to take a step.
He needed opportunity first. So I think he's
gonna
get
there was even instances where they could have gave him opportunities and they just didn't. Like he just couldn't get on the field, and I'm sure his size is a part of it. But there was just times where you can see on film where he was just getting outmatched, and it's to be expected. You're an undersized pass rusher in your first year in the league. And I know he spent a lot of time this year, getting stronger. And things like that. And even his teammates Slay and Brandon Graham have said that he's just so much more confident this year. They think he's going to do some great things. But I will be very, very tuned into what Nolan Smith is doing, not even in training camp, but preseason.
You want to know who else I think is in the same boat as, in a way, Nolan Smith, but more so Jordan Davis on that defense?
What we got?
Nakobe Dean.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if he just needs to stay healthy, he's not on the field long enough for us to even have any opinions on him. Yeah, he just can't stay healthy, which was a knock on him coming out of college. So we need him to stay on the field so we can figure out what it is. Because in the moments that he's been on the field, it's not like there's a
whole
lot.
What would
you
do if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. looks better than him?
Yeah, I mean, I hope they look good together because that's going to be the linebacker core. So
they have
Devin White. If Devin White,
who are the starters? Can, it's gonna be
Devin White and Nakobe Dean.
Yeah.
Given Dean is healthy, so it's gonna be that. And then Jeremiah Trotter Jr. will. You gotta remember he's a fifth round pick, so we have to temper our expectations. But I mean, if he shows us something, I assume if Dean's healthy, it'll be Dean and Devin White. I predict here's another prediction. I predict they'll bring back Zach Cunningham at some point.
Ugh.
Throughout this camp, I mean, what we need another linebacker.
Oh
the options
God.
Are gone.
Just gave me flashbacks.
He was all right last year. It's not like he was great, but he wasn't bad either.
Defense sucked.
Speaking of which, Shaq Leonard. Defense, Shaq Leonard's not getting another job. By the way, that man's still out there.
My God, dude.
Talk about a dude
you're
who's,
so
who's cooked beyond.
Just think of like all the things we pulled. You know, the changing of
defensive coordinator. Kevin Byard.
Oh my
he didn't
God!
Didn't do anything. Last year
yeah, oh, we didn't even touch on it. Thank you for saying that. Chauncey's back, man.
Yeah, Chauncey.
See what I mean? Like, this is what I'm talking about when you look at this team. It's crazy because I'm a fucking diehard. Like, I love this team. Eat, sleep, breathe it. And, like, when I got back, you know, after vacation and everything going on this summer, I'm looking at the team. I'm like, damn. Like, there's so much talent on this team, you know?
It's a lot. It's a lot. Bringing back CJ is going to help a lot with the secondary. Who's going to fill in some of those nickel opportunities as well as safety and things like that. But that about wraps up this one to get up here. And
those Chauncey Gardner Johnson interceptions hit like fucking crack.
Yeah, Super Bowl we'll see if year, he gets them this year. He had one in the playoffs last year when he came back from injury, so he's still in the right place at the right time.
Well, didn't he throw the ball to somebody too?
What
he did something after the interception. Didn't he like gesture to Baker after that?
Oh, he gave it to Baker because Baker said he was ass or something. He picked it off and gave it to Baker.
I missed it so much. You need that on this defense. Yeah. It's so hard.
Yeah, you do. Fun stuff. We wanted to make sure we got up here for you guys to preview training camp as the players and team did report today. They have their first practice tomorrow. We'll have
compiled notes. I feel like we barely talked about Jalen Hurts today. There's not a whole lot to say. I mean,
he's entrenched into his position, but trust me, when that practice happens, and whatever happens in those practices, because he was up and down at OTAs, as expected with the new system you're learning. You know, we're not expecting him to go
which
out there.
Which is
and
his
look like fucking
what coordinator now in the last 5 years?
Oh, it's God, like fourth, I want to say. So it was Doug. God, so Doug in the NFL alone, Doug, Steichen, Brian Johnson. Now it's Kellen Moore.
I just feel way
and
more.
Then you can go back to Lincoln Riley. You can go back to his college days.
Let's just touch on it. Who cares at this point? Really quickly, we have to just really quickly like. With him, I feel like there's an odd part of like the football universe out there that feels like he is a flash in the pan, and like some are like really concerned about him and stuff like that. And
people have him ranked outside top 10. They don't view him
whatever,
as like a top quarterback in this league anymore. You know?
I just think, I think he maybe he's tasked with a lot this offseason, learning a new offense and everything like that.
Again, for the umpteenth time,
but. I think there's just like a major difference now. He's been a pro much longer. He understands what the requirements are to be elite in this league. He's done it. But I think he may just be refreshed as a whole, because not only last offseason was there that was the huge, you know, like I guess you want to call it monkey on their back of the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but like I felt like it was more of a burden being the franchise quarterback of the Eagles last offseason, because he went on a freaking media branding, personal brand tour, you know.
Last offseason was a lot for him.
I
feel like he put a lot of unfair pressure on himself to not only get back, like the Super Bowl loss weighed heavily on him because that fumble,
got
like
the contract,
he never got over that. The contract, that. He wanted to live up to the contract. He had all, like, he had the Tiana, not saying that all this matters, but like he had the Tiana Taylor thing. He had all this, he was blossoming into a star, you know, and that weighs heavily on your mental, and it gives you, and it overwhelms you. You know, you don't want to be overstimulated. And last offseason was a lot to come off that loss and then get paid, and then you want to you know, let the franchise know that this wasn't a waste. Like, I want to live up to this contract. And I think a lot of that affected him as well. Then you have all the stuff going on behind the scenes with Sirianni and Brian Johnson and Sirianni's offense, but Johnson's calling the plays and all the mess that's going on, and whether Sirianni and Hurts get along or whatever the story is, all that mixed together, AJ's theatrics with everyone, all the things they were saying about AJ, all that stuff takes a toll on you. And the Eagles just look mentally and physically exhausted by the end of it. Even before the end of it, like 12 weeks in, they were just exhausted. They only played in the playoffs because they clinched it early. Like, if they could have found a way to get out, they would have. If they could have found a way to unclinch that spot, they would have. Mm. But they were only in the playoffs because they had to be. Like, we clinched the spot, we got to play it. But nobody, aside from Devontae Smith, looked like they wanted to play in that game. So I think like a reset, a mental reset, get some new coordinators in here, some fresh ideas, I think will be good for Hurts and the entirety of the organization. I am intrigued about the whole Sirianni dynamic, because I'm not sure. There's going to be a lot of eyes on that, on like how everything kind of operates between Moore, you know, Howie, Sirianni, and like what Sirianni's quote-unquote role is with the team, and he's all hands off, and what the perception is going to be of him, and how Hurts and him interact, because there's a lot is being made about that now. But I think this will be a better year for Hurts than last year. Not saying he was abysmal last year, but his interceptions went up, you know, turnovers went up. It was a lot for him to deal with, and I think this year will be much cleaner for him once they get past. I'm anticipating growing pains with the offense. Once they get past all that, I think Hurts will have a clean season.
I think there's, as a whole, there's like a humbleness that was created, a humble energy.
Yeah, they were certainly humble. Because for a while, they thought they could get by. Sirianni certainly thought they could just get by on talent. I'm not changing the offense. I'm not changing anything. They're good enough for me to continue to do this, and eventually talent will just win, and that wasn't the case.
Well, the circumstances that were created last season was that Sirianni and Hurts are that head coach and quarterback duo that now are up there and that they can carry a team. It doesn't matter what their coordinators are, that they're the guys, right? And
trust, you know, AJ and Devontae masked a lot of the true issues. Like, if they weren't as good as they were, they wouldn't have won six games last year.
Yeah, so. And I think that I'm just speaking, I'm projecting, and I'm confident. I'd imagine if Nick Sirianni was smart, he's now put into that CEO head coach style of role. If he was smart, he wouldn't overstep too much on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to be involved to a certain extent.
I think he stands off completely. He made that known. Like, I'm not even remotely involved in that. It's Kellen Moore's show. I'm not even in the room. Like, I'm away from
and
that.
And the other name is Jalen Hurts. Like, look, man, you got to trust Kellen Moore now. It's time to trust an offensive coordinator.
I don't think
again.
He has an issue with that. He's always been coachable. I don't think he has.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not, but, like, I think there's a humbleness that comes with that. Like, I don't know if he wanted it to be that way last year, where he has more hands-on on what's being called and everything out there. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying, Kellen
Moore's going to give him a lot more freedom at the line of scrimmage.
So. I mean, yeah. I think there's just, like, humbleness that comes with it. And, like, my God, there was a lot made out of A.J. Brown had every right to be frustrated last year, and, like, I think it's just a better energy around
right
the team now. So
it was just a shit show from top to bottom, from even before the losses started. You could tell in the Buffalo game and all these other games, and they were eking out wins, and we were like, man, it didn't look good, but they won. And it just I feel like we should have saw the writing on the wall, like with the Jets game and all these other stuff. We should have saw when AJ literally like ran through DeAndre Swift and put him on his ass. Like, there was signs that this was a fucking shit show. And we just were just like, the Eagles, they have all this, they're going to figure it out because they always do. And it was just too much to overcome last year. And then we get scraped by Baker Mayfield. So I think
the last thing really quickly, I don't know. It's just like a tough word to use, hot seat, right? And I'm not going to.
For Sirianni, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not going to dismiss this entirely.
I think he's on it personally.
I think it's a prove a year for him, though. It's just hard to say because Howie and Jeffrey Lurie are so forward thinking. So
a recent report saying that Larry thinks that Sirianni's like the guy. Like he's the guy for the next decade, like regardless of what the media is saying.
So, and people are mad. I know there's Eagles fans that are mad and they're like, what the hell is this guy's role? Look, man, like
cheerleader.
I sat up here and said, like, you know, I would have considered Belichick this past offseason.
Yeah,
if they
I was waiting for you
Sirianni.
To bring it up because I thought you were heading in that direction.
So, like, I'd imagine it would be a factor. But, like, look, at the
Belichick's
end of the day,
Belichick's going to be the Cowboys head coach next year.
You can get mad at me all you want, but Sirianni's job, he's the CEO head coach, and he has to mediate and make sure everything's okay. So the operation on offense, yeah, he may not have his hands on it as much.
Hey, man, Big Dom is back. Going to keep his emotions in check. So
yeah, like, he's got to make sure that Hurts and everybody's on page with their offensive coordinator. That's his job. Like, he's not calling plays. That's fine. Like, if this
manage
team
the personnel.
Just if this team
personnel.
Wins the division, you know, gets a God.
Don't scream at your players on the sidelines. Don't let the camera catch you. Don't let the camera catch you screaming at your players on the sidelines.
So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
It'll be interesting. There's a lot going into this season, from the players to the relationships of the coordinators to the coaches to everything. It's gonna be a big, big 2024 for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it'll start.
You
want
to know what
game.
Made, like, to me, this sounds very similar to the Doug Peterson situation in a way. Yeah, he got fired, but like,
yeah, but that's because Doug brought a plan that was like, what
yes.
the hell? He was like, I'm keeping my
but
grow,
like, let's
I'm
take a giant step back
Taylor,
on the Doug Peterson,
and they were like,
era.
The hell.
Can we take a giant step back? Like, at the end of the day, he did win a Super Bowl, and outside of that, there was its ups and downs. But what made him a great coach, in my opinion, at least in Philadelphia's tenure here. A good coach. What the fuck, man?
Still
whatever
a good
you want to call him. Whatever
still
you want to call
coach
him.
Now.
Yeah. Like, football is a wild sport, man. Like, every team's different. Situations are different. Some teams have CEO coaches. Some teams have, it seems like the wave of the NFL is your head coach is some offensive guru who calls the plays. And then there's some who are old school and their head coach is a defensive guy, you know, who strictly manages the defense. I just lost my train of thought. I totally have no idea where I was going to go with this. Doug Peterson. I was thinking of Nick Sirianni for some reason. There were some very, very odd, random, specific situations that happened here while he was the head coach of the team, and he did an A-plus job of handling it. And you can't account for these things. Everybody,
what, managing Winston Hurts on the field at
the
same time?
Yeah, all of us podcasters, us media members, we get up here, project, preview, predict the season, but you can't account for some things, you know? And Nick Sirianni didn't get fired. So he's coming back, and he has a new role, and there may be some
interesting things.
That's
because he came
back
with Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and said, I'm going to bring these guys in. And Larry was like, all right, you can keep your job.
So, you know, there's some new things that he may be tasked with, and if he comes out of it, great. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's go back to when he was a complete unknown. He was a complete unknown his rookie season as a coach, and this is what did it for me with him. They were like 4-6 or something at the time. I can't remember what they were. And he gave—I can't believe I'm doing this again. My God, the flower speech, man, changed up how they ran the offense, and they made a push.
No, him nobody play calling to Shane Steichen changed up how they ran the offense.
He did. At the end of the day, he did it, and it paid off.
He doesn't shy away from being humble.
And
doing
he
what the team
was
needs.
A big reason why that team that year they completely maximized everything that they had. It was Jalen's first year as a starter. And they made a push for the playoffs.
And the players bad for him, not for nothing. Like, at the end of last year, everyone was like, should Sirianni keep his job? Is he going
to
get fired?
There's something
to
that is all I'm saying. Because there's literally people who think
every single player said, yeah, why are you saying that? Like, yes, he's our head coach. Like, he's. I understand you don't want to, like, you know, kick him out the door. And you don't want to
say crazy. And I'm not saying he's one of the best coaches in the league. But, there's some people who literally think he sucks. And, I've seen coaches who suck.
That's because they look at the end of last year and they were like, what did he do to stop the bleeding? And we don't have an answer.
And that's the thing. When it's bad in the NFL, it can be really bad. I mean, Andy Reid's last year here, we won 4 games. Doug Peterson's last season here, we won 4 games.
But that right, but we knew that we just needed something like that. That was it wore out its welcome at that point. Like, it was just time for a change.
It's the NFL, man. And you never, it's a year-to-year league, honestly.
It is a year-to-year league. And Sirianni has a big one coming up. I wonder how he feels about it, if he feels like there's pressure on him. Obviously, he won't say that, like, on a conference or anything. But I wonder if, in his mind, he's like, man, I gotta reassure these guys this season, because he probably thought after last year that we all did that he and Hurts had job security after making it to.
I just hope he doesn't like overstep, you know. Don't press.
I don't think he will. I think he's good at. I don't want to say knowing your role, but he's good at like staying in his lane.
Yeah, just trust it. Trust it.
Yeah, he's good at trusting and letting people, like with Steichen. You saw it. He gave it up and managed the team, and then it was good from there on out.
Another interesting dynamic too is, like, there were some rumors out there that Kellen Moore has been long seeking, like, becoming maybe a head coach one day. So that's just,
well, he
like
interviewed for the job before they hired Sirianni. He interviewed for the job.
Just interesting, something to. You
so
know,
that's
like,
why the team is already familiar with Kellen. They were like, well, we interviewed you for head coach a few years ago, so we know what you're
about. I get tired
of
some of this stuff too with the NFL, with this like coaching surge that we're going through too. Like, I think it's kind of annoying to, I don't know about you, I just get annoyed with, like, not every goddamn coordinator needs to be a head coach or should or will be great at one, you know.
Yeah, but they should be given the chance.
Yeah,
if you're a good coordinator,
I agree.
Why can't you be a good coach?
I agree.
If you fail at it, then go back to being a coach.
But like, look at Vic Fangio.
Yeah, well, he was good at it, and then he went back to being a really good coordinator. Yeah, I mean, you should. How do you know if you don't try? Closed mouths don't get fed.
We'll find out about
Ben Johnson after this year in Detroit. We'll find out of Ben Johnson, who was asking for like a crazy money to be a head coach, and they were like, how about no?
Yeah.
So he went back to Detroit, and then he'll be the most sought after head coach next year for whoever needs one, along with Belichick and Vrabel and these guys who might get looks the second time around.
Yeah.
So, or the, you know, if the Eagles, part of me feels like the Eagles were like, hey man, if Sirianni's off the shits this year, you head coaching job might be yours. So just stick around. We'll see how Sirianni works. Part of me, I know nothing. I don't have any intel on the situation. But,
Sirianni could just sit on the sideline and not even do a goddamn thing.
Just don't be caught screaming. Big Dom's going to be having him by
the hip. You could literally just sit back and not do a damn thing, and this team will still be elite.
You will be, because Kellen's about to have his team.
Still
going to
be wondering, what is this guy's role? What is he doing?
God, this offense is about to be nuts with Kellen Moore and Saquon. I can't wait. Training camp's going to be a fun time. Thank you guys for tuning into the first episode of this season of the Philly Pod. We appreciate you guys for checking it out to this training camp preview. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast as we get back on track here for the 2024 NFL season. Be sure to download our app Autograph, combined with over there all the content they got going on will be in the app as well, providing content. You can find pods, blogs, tweets, all of that sort at the Autograph app. Be sure to download that on the App Store as well as Google Play. We'll catch you guys likely tomorrow. What's today? Today is Tuesday, probably either Wednesday or Thursday. If anything interesting happens in training camp, we'll have our takeaways, talk about some of the things and notes and stuff that we gathered from training camp. Until then, guys, appreciate you guys for listening in. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.